Hello and welcome to a festive edition of the RHS Gardening Podcast. Happy Christmas! Our podcasts usually bring you a mixture of features and discussions, exploring every aspect of gardening, plant care, pest control, container ideas, growing your own fruit and vegetables, plus expert seasonal advice on what you should be doing in your garden right now. But in this special Christmas Eve edition, we're going to look at what you can be doing in your garden, not just now, but in the year ahead, to grow your own Christmas for 2016. I'm Jenny Bowden, one of the team of horticultural advisors here at RHS Garden Wesleyan Surrey, and today I'm speaking to you from the hushed tones of the RHS Science Library. In the next 30 minutes, we're going to hear tips and techniques on how to grow your own festive fruit and veg for your Christmas feast, how to choose and nurture winter plants to make stunning decorations for your table and for your home, and finally, get ideas for seasonal activities to burn off some of that delicious festive fare. But first, let's head outside to find out how Christmas is shaping up here at RHS Garden Wesley.
My name is Matthew Pottage and I'm the curator here at RHS Garden Wesley. So Wesley at Christmas time. Wesley is always beautiful. Christmas is no exception. And looking across the gardens, actually here on Christmas Eve, but generally at Christmas at Wesley, you still have lots of interesting plant structures across the garden. Namely, just by my office, there's the beautiful grass borders, and they're still full of colour and structure, of whites, browns, golds, and all that leafy, fine texture that still stands through those all-important winter months. But then there's a glow of orange and red over on the far side of 7 acres from the winter walk. And that's all the cornice and winter stems of willows, some Acinogundos, some tilias. There's snowdrops popping up, there's hellebores popping up, so there's flower colour already going on there. And the first of the witch hazels are opening, so there's a little bit of the scent that's going to be completely surrounding us in the January, February months. But then also we've got a bit of fun. We've got some giant light installations around the garden for the December period and just slightly into the new year. It's called our Glow Event, and they're giant flowers, there's big stands of them, vibrant colours, and the gardens are open till 6 o'clock, so visitors can come and see those in the proper, you know, the darkness of the evening. And all the paths on that network are lit up with fairy lights, so people can find their way around. Wesley is incredibly dark, you know, despite being in Surrey and there's London light pollution, it's very dark, so it is fun to see those, and a few of the trees are uplit with that too. And then in the glasshouse we've got some beautiful poinsettias, we've got some air plants, tillandsias, that are basically in like big balls, like big spheres, and they're suspended from the roof. There's a handful of those which are quite fun, and the team in there have actually also made a mini Christmas tree out of those. It stands about 8 foot high and it's completely silver of all these air plants. It's very beautiful. It's probably one of my favourite things in there they've done for Christmas. So do come along and see us, even if it's just to walk off too much food, too much lunch. Christmas is all about eating, I think, among other things. So do come and take a brisk walk around Wesley, and there's still lots to see as always.
Matthew Pottage, newly appointed curator at RHS Garden Wesley in Surrey. More from him later. Every year, the RHS advisory team receives scores of questions about Christmas plant decorations. How can you keep the birds from eating all the berries on the holly? Is it possible to grow your own mistletoe? Innovative ideas for homemade and homegrown decorations. And please, please give me some ideas for Christmas plants other than poinsettias. Help is at hand. We asked our gardening experts some of your most pressing Christmas concerns.
I'm Lee Hunt, I'm the Principal Horticultural Advisor here at RHS Garden Wesley.
I'm Tony Dickerson, I'm a Horticultural Advisor here at RHS Wesley in Surrey.
I'm Guy Barter, I work with the RHS Gardening Advice and I'm based in Surrey at Wesley.
And I'm Helen Bostock, I'm Senior Horticultural Advisor at the RHS.
Marion Armitage has emailed in from Newcastle. How can I encourage my holly to produce more berries and stop the birds from eating them all before Christmas?
Well, I think the crucial thing here, you must make sure that your holly tree is a female, and that somewhere not too far away is a male tree. Several females to one male will do. It can be quite confusing because you'll find that Golden King, for example, is female, whereas Golden Queen or Silver Queen are males. Probably the best thing to do if you're purchasing plants is check the label. It will often indicate whether they're male or female. The RHS Plant Finder will also give you that indication. So the first thing, check you've got the right sex.
Just to confuse matters, there is one that's more likely to be a bit self-fertile as well, and that's called J.C. Van Tol. We often think of hollies as being very spiky with their leaves, lots of prickles on the edges. This one's got a nice smooth edge, but it does have lots of very good red berries too. So you want to consider if you haven't got a lot of hollies around you and you're wondering with pollination to get the fruit is going to be an issue because there aren't any other plants and there isn't room in your garden to put more plants in to get the fruit.
I think it's going to be very difficult, unfortunately, to stop the birds getting the berries. And I think, let's face it, the birds need the berries probably more than we do. So let's have a little bit of sharing. I did one year pick a load of holly with berries on, thinking that I was going to sneak the berries away from the birds before Christmas so I could use them for Christmas wreaths. Popped them into the shed, came back a few weeks later, not a single berry left. Or the little mices has had them instead. So, yeah, I think we just need to throw in the towel, let nature do what it does best, which is use our gardens to the full and enjoy the berries. One thing you could try is maybe looking for a holly that's got yellow berries, because those will probably last that little bit longer. Birds have an innate tendency to go for reds first before other colours.
So that's things like Fructio lutea, isn't it, which has, they're quite golden yellow, aren't they? They're quite pretty. And they make an interesting talking point when you do add them to a wreath, because you can explain to people what they are, as well as being something sort of horticultural interest. Mrs. Connolly's sent us a letter and she says, I hate poinsettias. Can you please suggest some alternative gift ideas of seasonal plants for displays and presents?
I'm going to go for, and again, this is probably something in the background of being in a florist shop for a few Christmases, and that's the paper white narcissus, which are absolutely stunning to look at, very beautiful. White centres, you've got the fragrance is probably the first thing, to be honest, that is going to hit you if you're within 6 feet of a paper white. Very prettily often planted in little baskets. If you want to give it as a gift, you can pop one of those little wicker baskets around the pot to disguise it, and then hide all that stuff at the bottom of the pot with a little bit of moss. Again, you can buy those from most florist shops, or if you've got a lawn that looks anything like mine, you can usually tease out a few bits of moss from it as well. But they won't last overly long. The hotter the room that you put them in, the quicker they'll go over. But for those few weeks or even perhaps days in a really warm room that you get to enjoy them, they really will knock your socks off.
I think I'd go for something with a bit of future ahead of it. And I think in this case, citrus would be a great choice. Maybe just an ornamental orange or lemon, or one that you could actually use the fruit of. Very good for domestic situations. Yeah, plenty of light, but over the winter, doesn't need to be particularly warm. Keep slightly on the cool side. Water and feed it in the summer months. Grows very well, great foliage, many flowers. And as I say, if you're fortunate and you choose the right variety, then you'll also get some fruit.
Some people do come to us in the winter feeling that perhaps they've been given a citrus, but they've only got a house to keep it in somewhere indoors, and they're finding that it's dropping its leaves. So maybe think a little bit, has the person you're wanting to give a citrus to maybe got a sunroom or a conservatory or a greenhouse, because they'll probably find it a lot easier to care for it in the winter with those facilities.
Going back to poinsettias, what we know, of course, is that just like Mrs. Connolly is describing, where she hates plants, it seems a general trend, because we know that sales have been going down now over a number of years, and that's been in the news. But of course, poinsettias are known for those big, ripe, red bracts that sit on the top. So they're not actually flowers. They're closer to leaves than flowers. And then they have little dots in the middle, which are the proper flowers. So if you have a look in the centre, those yellow bits, the flower structures. Obviously, they can be bought now in a wide variety of colours. So almost yellowy green colours, pinks. The trick is to try and get them fresh and to get them directly from a good nursery, because at this time of year, if they get sat outside in the cold, they get shocked. And then you know that traditional thing where you get the poinsettia home, you set it up, and then on Christmas morning, about half of the bracts have dropped off, and then the rest of the bracts are lucky if they make it to the sherry after the Queen's speech. That's because they've been maltreated. And if they you get them from a good supplier where they haven't got cold, wrap it up when you take it home. Make sure that they put one of those cellophane wraps around it, or you close the top if they've got one already on. That should help enable you to get it home in good condition so you don't get those problems. And they can last a very long time. We certainly hear of people who, yes, they got them right through Christmas, which is a start, but then they carried on into the next summer and they grew. And then if they put them in a room without light in October, September, October time, they will do again for the next year. Not everyone wants to do that, so some people do treat them like a bunch of flowers. But if you do carry on growing them, then yes, they can get to many metres tall. Helen, you've probably seen them out in Spain. How tall can they get?
Yeah, it was came as a huge surprise when I saw them growing in the wild, sort of central Spain. I've seen them in very arid conditions. I have to say, I've only sort of caught sight of them looking down from a sort of old castle area of the cities, and yeah, they were literally just sort of clinging to the side of these rocky outcrops that you'd think really, and scrubby areas, but they were huge. I mean, they were, like you say, probably at least 2 meters, 6 foot, 8 foot, probably taller. Very different creatures from what we expect to see, you know, picking up in the supermarket to take home for mum or whatever.
We've got an email here from Joe Carter. I'd like to make a scented Christmas wreath, so something slightly different. What seasonal plants might be suitable, please? And can you suggest combinations that would create a breathtaking display?
Yes, hopefully a breathtaking and a sweet-smelling one as well. I think one of the things to remember is this time of year is a bit of an in-between time for flowers in the garden, but there are a few things that can flower early enough to enable us to get them into the Christmas displays. First one is the appropriately named Christmas box. This does actually begin to flower at this time of year, and it has a very strong scent, a really rich pungent scent that you can smell on the wind as it gets warm. It looks a bit like a box plant, but it has more elongated leaves, so it'll point, and it will form a mound not too dissimilar to a box plant, where it's evergreen, it's glossy, and then the flowers are actually quite inconspicuous. They're just almost like little brushes of either cream, for something like Sarcococca confusa, or with the Hookerania types as well, you get more of a pinkish tinge and often a purplish stem as well with some of those cultivars of the Hookerania varieties. They bend very well, so you could almost form a base of that, particularly if you've managed to get quite a large plant going, and you can cut it off and that's fine. It responds quite well to pruning. So that's my first choice.
I wonder whether you could add in something like Viburnum bodnantense dawn, which is a deciduous shrub, lovely for sort of back of the border, has clusters of pink flowers, which again are heavily scented. I think you'd probably be wanting to add it into a wreath which has an oasis base to it. Oasis is a florist cheating a material which that sort of spongy green stuff that flakes away if you prod and poke at it too much. But all you do to get that wetted is just get a block, sit it on the top of a bucket or a basin of water, and just let it soak in at its own time. Don't push it under, otherwise you'll get some air pockets in there, and that will keep plants that might have a tendency just to sort of flop or go over too quickly when they're cut, really sort of hold them sometimes for many days, if, you know, even weeks. So I'd add those in. I guess there's a bit of a cheaty one as well. If you really can't find anything particularly scented from the garden at Christmas time, of course, you can always get a few candles in there, a few scented tea lights and things. Just, you know, watch where you sit in them. Well, moving on, I've got another question here from somebody called E. Cumley of Suffolk. They say, I love cranberries, but you can only seem to be able to buy them in December. Firstly, can I grow them myself? I have a greenhouse. Or are there any tart berries more suited to British climate that I should be trying instead? So do we have anybody who's a bit of a know-it-all on cranberries?
Well, the true cranberry is grown mostly in North America, and it's in areas where it can be flooded. So as the cranberries get ripe, water is led into the cranberry area and the berries float away and they're scooped out of the water. So it's not quite possible to get cranberries as easily as that in your own garden. But happily, cranberry plants can be bought and are grown just like any other what we call ericaceous plants, which are acid-loving plants. And they are relatively easy to grow, but I have to tell you that they don't give a heavy crop, so you'd need three or five to get a good picking.
Of course, cranberries make very low-growing plants, so they are very much ground-hugging. And for example, you end up growing them in a container because you can actually get some ericaceous compost. So if you haven't got the right soil, that can be a good way of doing it. You find it almost trails over the edge, so it makes quite a neat, pretty plant. And then you do get the berries sort of dotted on the top. So it can be very ornamental. I was actually trying to think of anything that would be a sort of substitute that would be easier to grow. I can't claim this is perfect, but I think gooseberries is your next best option, because when you pick them small, they're tart and you can freeze them, so you could keep them to this time of year. But I can't claim they're the right colour, but they would provide that sort of similar complement of sweet tartness to something like the turkey. So I could see it could just about get away with it.
I think that's actually a very good choice. Blueberries from perhaps 5 square feet, you'll get a pound of fruit. From that same area, a good gooseberry will probably produce anything up to 10 pounds of fruit. And if you simply want the great super fruit, grow a black currant.
While we're on the subject of currants, don't forget there's white currants with a very mild flavour, red currants with a particularly characteristic flavour that are a traditional winter relish. And also there's pink currants that I've got somewhere in between the two, but are very attractive to grow. The red currants can actually last in the fridge for many, many weeks if you pick them at the right kind. So you don't actually have to preserve or freeze them.
You just need to keep the birds off, in my experience. And they'll even go for the white ones later on. But anyone grown a jostaberry?
I'm a big fan of the jostaberry. It is a most splendid berry. I wouldn't have said it's terribly tart, though, but it has got a most wonderful colour.
Jostaberry fruits have that wonderful cross of flavours between the gooseberry and the blackcurrant as well. So that sharpness and that rich fruitiness. They can be used, obviously, for things like sauces and for crumbles, but they make really good jam as well. So as well as freezing them, I suggest that you get on and preserve them in that way.
You can find more tips and advice and video guides to growing your own fruit and vegetables on the gardening pages of the RHS website. That's rhs.org.uk/advice. I'm Jenny Bowden and you're listening to the Christmas edition of the RHS Gardening Podcast. When you've had your fill of rich food and a board of board games, here are some events and activities happening at our 4 RHS gardens that will get you out in the fresh air. RHS Garden Rosemore's Winter Sculpture Exhibition is now an established part of our events programme and continues through into 2016 with an exciting and eclectic mix of exhibits from a diverse collection of sculptors spread throughout the garden. Pick up a trail leaflet and see how many sculptures you can discover. If you need cheering up from dull winter days, why not visit the Christmas display in the glasshouse at RHS Garden Wisley, which runs until the 4th of January. Hundreds of plants are specially grown by the team, including poinsettias for a large Christmas tree, Pitonia and Anthurium. The tropical zone is transformed by vibrant colours and pillars are adorned with hundreds of orchids, free with normal garden entry. Join the Hyde Hall Gardeners for a masterclass demonstration on late winter pruning techniques for shrub roses and wisteria on the 7th of January. Again, places are limited and discounted tickets are available for RHS members. Are you new to gardening and unsure exactly what you should be doing and how to do it, or a keen gardener wanting tips on your timings? Join us at RHS Garden Harlow Carr on the 22nd of January for a winter workshop that'll take you through the gardening year, providing a whistle-stop tour of techniques, tips, tricks and advice on seasonal tasks. Places are limited and discounted tickets are available for RHS members. Details of all these events, as always, are on the website at rhs.org.uk/gardens-what's-on. Here you can also find details of some of the stunning winter displays at the RHS partner gardens around the UK. Well, that's almost all we've got time for on this Christmas edition of the RHS Gardening Podcast. But before the team retire to stoke their fires and hang the final tinsel on the wisteria, let's hear what our garden lovers are hoping to find under the tree on Christmas morning.
OK, well, I do have a bit of a thing for wildlifey gifts. We might as well all benefit. Perfect thing for that special person in your life might be a bird box camera. It's going to keep delivering. Get it set up before the next nesting season starts. What it normally comes in with is instructions on how to set up the bird box itself, and then you just get a little tiny camera that fits inside, either operates on mains power or you can put it on a battery. And then from the comfort of your own home, you can have hours of fun watching on your screen the events unfolding as nature comes with the blue tits, blackbirds, any of the nesting species. And even in the winter, when you might not have the birds in there, quite often you see just what other wildlife gets up to. Things like mice will often go and shelter in there. So those are quite expensive. So if you can't afford, perhaps a full bird box camera set, how about getting little bird box plates? These are little metal discs that you screw onto the front of conventional bird boxes. You get them in different sizes for the holes, and what it does is just guard against predation of the fledglings in the box from things like squirrels and corvids, so that's crows and jays and things. And again, those don't cost very much and they're a really nice little stocking filler.
Yeah, so while getting away a little bit from the wildlife, I think a trailer load of manure would be ideal. And I'm sure most listeners can think of some suitable recipients. Failing that, bag products from garden centres or DIY superstores, nothing better for any garden soil of any description. The other alternative, certainly an expensive alternative, something I've mentioned before on podcasts, copper tools. They'll last not only your lifetime, but several other lifetimes. And there's nothing more luxurious than a copper tool.
I would add to that, because I do think often gardeners, we need the basic stuff and often those are the most expensive things. So I'd always add a pair of good secateurs in there. But if you're looking for something a little bit different, after Christmas, I tend to spend a lot of time in the greenhouse because one, it's dry, and two, there is quite a lot of stuff in terms of seed sowing, tent cuttings, thinking about potting up the dahlias and getting them going. So I find often these jobs quite repetitive, and having something to listen to is a good idea. And as well as the traditional radio, obviously now you can get all sorts of different devices. So things that play MP3, where you can get podcasts and music. And of course, I'd like to think that you're all listening to us on a perennial loop. But of course, I'm sure you want a bit of variety with that too. But the idea is to sort of keep me entertained and keep me going on what is often quite a cold, damp job. So having something to take the mind off and entertain is useful.
One of the most interesting things that we encounter in the advice service is a number of people who are given plants. And we say to them, are you pleased about this gift of a plant? And they say, well, if you want the truth, not really. And for gardeners, giving them plants is a bit of an imposition, really. But you can make them very, very, very happy indeed by giving them a voucher so that they can buy the plant that they actually want. So it's worth just bearing that in mind. However, a wildlife gift, one that I certainly intend to give my unlucky family this winter, is the special bird boxes made for house sparrows. House sparrows are social birds and they like to nest in fairly close proximity, and you can get special nest boxes that have several compartments. And the poor old spadgy has been in a long-term decline for reasons that are not entirely clear. But one of the things appears to be that our houses and buildings are so much better nowadays, there's just not the places for them to nest. So that's going to be my thing. I'm going to help the sparrow come back from its decline.
So that's it for this Christmas edition of the RHS Gardening Podcast. We'll be back next year. Until then, remember to follow us on Twitter at @_RHS and like us on Facebook. For now, from me, Jenny Bowden, and all of us here at Wisley, season's greetings, and until 2016, goodbye.